Okay, this is week number two, class number one, TH-304, The Wisdom of God. Now, in your outline, if you will turn to page two, just a couple of things I want to note before we get into what we want to get into tonight. Page two, we're talking about, we are in the section, point two, wisdom is productive. And we're talking about things that wisdom can produce. First off, wisdom is always available. And wisdom makes reference and teaches and speaks about, you know, excellent things. We covered all of this. And on the next page, three, there is, we talk about prudence, witty inventions. And the thing about the witty inventions that I really like is the fact that wisdom produces the idea, method of development, and manner of implementation. Wisdom produces counsel, which is, again, we talked about how that when you're tapping into the wisdom of God, you're not going to need a whole lot of psychotherapy, you know, Christian psychologists and so forth. I mean, you know, you just, when you're walking in the wisdom of God, God's wisdom becomes all of those things for you. Sound wisdom, understanding, strength. Now, point F, it was pointed out to me that I skipped this last week, so let's go over this. Proverbs chapter 8, go ahead and turn over there. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 says, "By me," now this is wisdom speaking again, "by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Now let's just stop here for a moment and look at a couple of things. Leave a marker here in Proverbs 8 because we may skip around to other verses throughout the night. So leave a marker here in Proverbs 8 and it says, wisdom is speaking and says, "By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Now look over in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, John's writing to the seven churches in Asia. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, even from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So here it tells us that we've been made kings and priests unto God. And then if you look back over in Romans chapter 8, and in chapter 8, take a look at verse 37. It says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." No, wait a minute. I read the wrong one, didn't I? Well, excuse me. Good thing you're here. Who knows what I'd teach if you guys weren't here. Well, praise God. Yeah, 517. Sure, Brother Martin. Those glasses are helping you a whole lot, aren't they? "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So Jesus has given us this position of being a king and a priest unto God. Then it says here that we can reign in life. Well, back over in Proverbs, it tells us, wisdom is saying, look, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Now, we're the kings, we're the priests, we're the ones that are supposed to be reigning in this earth. And we've been made, as I've read, more than conquerors, but you have to know how to apply this. Now, here's the thing. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, King of Kings, he's the King, we're the kings, over whom he is the King. Now, the Bible says that all things have been placed under the feet of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. When Jesus was here on earth, did he have any problem whatsoever exercising dominion and authority over demonic powers? Well, absolutely not. Did he have any problem whatsoever exercising authority over sickness and disease? No. Did he have a problem in just about any area of his life when it came to administering authority in this world? No, he didn't. Wisdom says, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now here's one of the reasons why that a lot of Christians struggle in life. It's because even though we have the position of king, we don't know how to operate as a king. When we operate as a king within the structure of God's kingdom, in accordance to what we've received through Jesus Christ and from Him, then ruling as that king is going to be different than the world's perception of ruling. Now, granted, there'll be some overlapping as far as the general concept is concerned, but we should understand how to exercise authority in a way that lines up with the Word of God, because there are a lot of Christians that are trying to exercise authority in ways that God is not going to stand behind. You can't control another person's life. You can't dominate another individual's will, meaning you can't control their will or force, you know, choices to be made and so forth. God doesn't even do that. You know, if people don't want to accept Jesus, they don't accept Jesus. He doesn't force them, but it's available to them. Likewise for us, there are a lot of people that, well, let's put it this way. There are people that I have come in contact with over the years, and I know their background, meaning like the church they've attended, the kind of teaching they've sat under, and, you know, things like that. I know their background, and yet they look at me and make statements like, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to act, or I don't know how to control the situation. Not from the perspective of control the people, but effect this situation for change. I don't know. Well, the thing is, I know their background. I know what they've heard. They should know this. Something's not right somewhere. Well, maybe they've paid attention. Maybe they haven't. However, wisdom is making a declaration here and says, by me, you will reign. You will exercise authority, decree justice. You will rule. By me, you will do these things. Therefore, when it comes to us reigning in life by one Christ Jesus, when it comes to us operating as a king representing the King of Kings, when we understand wisdom, and when we begin to tap into wisdom and live by this wisdom that God is describing for us here in His Word, when we do that, we're not going to run into these situations of, well, I don't know what to do. Did Jesus ever not know what to do? I mean, did Jesus ever turn to Peter and John and say, boy, guys, what are we going to do now? We don't have anything to feed these people. He knew what to do. Jesus never faced a situation that He didn't know what to do. Jesus operated by the wisdom of God. By the same token, we have the ability to do the same thing. We should never be at a loss as far as what to do. Now, that does not mean that instantly we know exactly what to do the moment a situation comes up. But what it does mean is we will understand what to do to find out what to do. Meaning, wisdom says, by me you will rule. By me you will reign. By me you will decree justice. Like, okay. Off the top of my head, I don't know what to do this instant. But I know this. God has told me that wisdom will enable me to know what to do. So if I will get in a position to receive His wisdom, then I'm going to be able to operate by that wisdom and exercise my dominion and authority. I'll be able to do what I need to do to effect change in whatever is happening. And again, we can't control the will of people, but we sure can exercise authority over demonic powers. We sure can exercise authority in the areas where Scripture has demonstrated that we can exercise authority. So, when you think of it from the perspective of what God is telling us here in His Word, and He is declaring, I'm wisdom, by me kings reign. So, we've been made kings and priests. If we are not reigning in this life, it's because we're not tapping into the wisdom. Now, another way to look at that is, if we don't tap into the wisdom, we can't reign in this life. It doesn't matter what Scripture says about us. You know, I'm a king, I'm a king. You know, confessing the word, I am a king, I am a king. Well, praise God, you're a king. Yes, you're a king. I rule and reign, I rule and reign. Yes, you do. But are you tapping into the wisdom of God? Because it's by that wisdom you reign. Well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, then, yes, you're a king, yes, you rule and reign, but we need to help you understand how to rule and reign. As we go through this course, and you begin to see more and more about how wisdom works in the life of a believer, you are going to be able to see why it is that so many Christians are living beneath what God has promised us. And, you know, it's kind of like you take pieces of a puzzle and you put them all together and you have the complete image. Wisdom is a piece to the puzzle of living as a Christian. We can have all the other pieces in order, but without that wisdom, there's a piece missing. When that piece is in place, everything is going to work together. It's kind of, I remember years ago, Pontiacs were notorious for needing for the timing gears and chains breaking. Now that's, you know, even back before they went to the plastic, when they were the metal. And it was not I worked at a station, and it was just a typical thing. I don't know why. Why Pontiacs and not Chevys? I mean, they all came off the same assembly line almost, but Pontiacs were like that. And so here you have the timing gear, and the gear had all these little teeth on it. And then the chain fit, well, kind of like a bicycle, you know, the chain and the spoke, okay? Well, those teeth break off, and that chain can start to slip. And it messes up, the car just won't run right. Wisdom is one of the teeth on that gear. If it's not in place, then it's you're not going to be able to operate in life the way that God wants you to and the way you can operate. You know, I've said this before. The deeper I go in my relationship with the Lord, the fewer excuses I find available to me. I can't go to God and tell Him why it didn't work, as though He left something out, as though He held back on me. I can't go to Him and tell Him, but God, and He says, but Jim, you have my word. You have, I mean, it's all laid out there for you. So there are no excuses. So we cannot justifiably say, I don't know how, when wisdom is saying, but I'll tell you how. By me, kings reign. You rule. You decree justice. You operate in this position with the authority of a king. Well, let's go on and turn to the next page on your outline, your syllabus. Proverbs 8:34. Wisdom says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Now please keep in mind, wisdom is... can I share something with you about the whole book of Proverbs? All too often, this has been what I have experienced and how what I have perceived in the life of many believers. The book of Proverbs is looked at as though it came from Confucius. You know, that Chinese, you know, and he, you know, man who live in glass house should not walk naked or whatever. I don't know. I mean, just, you know, crazy. You know what I'm saying? Now, not all of these things that this guy Confucius wrote were off the wall. There were some good things. But here's what I'm getting at. I've come across too many Christians that look at the book of Proverbs as though it's a bunch of really good sayings without having any deep spiritual application or meaning. And, you know, I cannot imagine God saying, I'm going to come up with a whole lot of really good sayings and put them in this book called Proverbs, so that you guys can look smart by quoting from them. No, I'm going to speak to you in this book. And yes, there are a lot of good, sound... There are businesses out there that operate by principles that are in the book of Proverbs, but they don't tell you that. But that's what they're doing. There are good, sound principles in here that even if you don't believe in God, if you just apply the principles in here, good things can happen. That's because it's a godly principle. You see what I'm saying? Well, the book of Proverbs is something that God has given to us to help us maybe understand His perspective of how life is supposed to be lived. That's just one way to say it. But if we don't look at Proverbs as just Proverbs, just a bunch of Proverbs, if we look at this as a book of instructions that have come directly from God as to how we can live and succeed in life, and if we understand this is God Himself, the Creator of the universe, speaking to us and giving us these things, it can help us to grasp a deeper meaning contained in these words. You know, it's amazing how that... it's almost like some Christians, they say, the whole Bible, why, you know, that's the Word of God. But the book of Ephesians and Galatians, Matthew, I mean, now those are really the words of God. Now, Proverbs are the words of God, but the others are really the words of God. You know, we need to get into the others and find out what God's had to say. And I mean, these are good things, don't get me wrong, but Galatians now, that is really a book from God. Proverbs is just a book, just as equal as a book of God as everything else that is in Scripture. God is speaking to us, trying to get... Maybe if we change the name from Proverbs to something like, hey, this is me talking to you. I don't know. But it's something to help the body of Christ understand this is God trying to get principles across to us. Well, He says, God says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Well, at the beginning of this book, or beginning of this chapter, you know, wisdom is saying, I'm calling unto you, I'm crying out unto you. And so wisdom makes this declaration. Look, you're going to be blessed. Those of you that hear me. Now, the word hear, it doesn't simply mean, you know, okay, yeah, I heard what you said, then walked away. You know, how many times have you said things to your kids, you know, go pick this up, go do that, and they don't move. And you ask them, did you hear me? And they say, yeah. Well, why didn't you do anything? I'm busy right now. You're watching TV. That's right. I'm busy right now. Okay? That's not the kind of hearing we're talking about here. Well, he says, you're blessed, those of you that hear me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Now leave your marker here and turn over to Exodus 21. Because there's a specific reason why this is worded the way it is here in Proverbs. In Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now here's the imagery in this. You have a servant. And the servant says, look, I really love my master. I know it's time for me to be set free and to go out there. But you know what? Life out there, free, is not nearly as attractive to me as being the servant to my master for the rest of my life. He is wonderful. He treats me so nice. I can't imagine life being any better than this. And so, master, I know the time has come, according to the years, that you're supposed to let me go and I'm supposed to go free. But I don't want to go free. I want to stay here with you and serve you the rest of my life. I love you. And the master says, now are you sure you want to do this? Because you realize that this is a permanent decision. And the servant says, I want to do this. The master says, okay. Well, master takes the servant, and you notice it says they go to the judges. When they get to the judges, The master says, this is my servant, and as you all know, the year has come when the servants are supposed to go free. But my master, or my servant here, has told me that he doesn't want to go free. He wants to stay with me the rest of his life. So the judges would ask this servant, is this true? Is this what you want? And the servant would reconfirm to those judges, yes, this is what I want. I don't want to ever leave my master. He's wonderful. I love him. He treats me well, treats my family well. We want to stay here with him the rest of our lives. And the judges would say, all right, then therefore we decree that your servant shall stay with you. And then the master would take the servant, and the servant would go over to like a door, the doorpost, and would lean up against it, kind of like this. And then they would take an awl, which is like a stick with a real sharp point, and put it here to his ear, and the master would drive that through. Now, see, you've got to make sure, you've got to know you want to do this. You know what I'm saying? You have to know if you're the servant. You have to be committed to this kind of a thing. Well, they would drive that awl through his ear. And as I understand it, in some cases they would put an earring there in the ear as well. But nevertheless, they would drive that through. In other words, that symbolized that I've made this commitment. Now notice here in Exodus, and this same kind of instruction is repeated over in Deuteronomy. The wording is a little bit different, but it's the same thing. Exodus 21, it says, verse 6, the master takes him to the judges, to the door or to the doorpost, his master bores his ear through with an awl, and he'll serve him forever. He'll serve him forever. He's at the doorpost having his ear awled, and then he's serving him forever. Now turn back over to Proverbs. Verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now here's the image this is presenting. It's somebody that has sold out to the master. And where it says, watching daily at my gates, this the image of this is the servant goes up to the gate of the master and is standing there waiting and watching for the appearance of the master, for the master to come out and give instructions. This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is where I want you to work today. This is how I want you to serve me today. And the servant, it doesn't matter what else is going on, that servant is standing there at attention or giving attention, watching or looking and waiting intently for the appearance of his master so he can receive instructions from him. And then this part about here, waiting at the posts of my doors, this is, the image of this is, I'm here at the post where I made my commitment. I'm here demonstrating again my dedication to you. Wisdom is saying, look, blessed is the man that hears me, giving diligent attention to me, or in other words, coming to my gate and standing there and not leaving until having had an encounter with me to receive instruction for me. Being at the posts, there at the door, meaning having a total life commitment to me, and with the image of the ear being bored through there at the doorpost, meaning giving full attention. I'm listening. You have my full attention, Master. I'll do whatever you want. Wisdom says, the person that is like that with me is going to be blessed. Now, think of all the Christians that we know that complain about not having blessings in their lives. This verse right here is one of the many answers that can be found in Scripture as to why. When you are following wisdom, when you are committed to wisdom, receiving God's wisdom, when you have made that type of dedication, I'm not doing anything until I have the wisdom of God. And Scripture says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Think of it this way. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay? Here I come, servant. Where's my master? Where's my master? How do I know what to do? Master! 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 I'm asking you for direction for this day. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom says, blessed is the man who hears me, watching at my gate, giving diligent attention at my gate, who is sold out to serving me and will do nothing until he receives from me what I want him to do. Blessed is that man. You want to be blessed? Here's how. Likewise, what's the flip side to this? How many people act on impulse and never wait to receive direction from God? Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about that one. Too many of us might fall into that category. He says, blessed is the person who does this. Here's what I have found, and I've struggled with this like anybody else. The challenge is to wait at the gates, at the posts of the doors. Wait. 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 Just wait. And don't do anything until the Master comes out and tells you. Or until, here in Proverbs, until wisdom is released to you. Wait. Wait. Wait upon the Lord and you'll renew your strength. I mean, on and on. You see many passages in Scripture that talk about us waiting on the Lord. Here, wisdom says, wait on me. Now, I'll share something with you. Sometimes, when you go to God, the silence is deafening. Oh, God, why won't you speak to me? Oh, God, Pastor, you got to pray with me. God won't speak. He won't tell me. Sometimes people are asking for directions for the next step when they haven't fulfilled the directions for the previous step. And other times, quite honestly, God is not answering because He's trying to teach you patience. You want to know? I'll answer. It's not a problem. But I want you to sit there and wait. Wait at my gate. Wait at my doorpost. Wait. Just wait in my presence. Just wait. Now, here's what you'll find out. It isn't that God is trying to discover how much patience you have. He's wanting to reveal to you how much patience you don't have. He wants you to see what He already knows. And boy, I don't know about you guys, but this waiting thing is a challenge to me. I don't want to wait. I'm a man of action. Come on, God, tell me what to do. Let's do it. And He says, wait. Just wait. And you'll get my direction. I have to tell you, more than once, I've not waited. And I've stepped out there on my own and knew it. And you know what? I have come to the conclusion that God's plan always works better than mine. Wisdom really does know what it's talking about. And He says, look, blessed is the man. I want to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Therefore, if I'm going to be blessed, I am going to have to wait at the gates of wisdom. I'm going to have to put my ear up to His door and listen for Him. What if He doesn't want to come out the door? What if He's got the measles and He wants to speak through the door? I got to get up close and listen. I don't want to miss a word of what He has to say. Maybe He hasn't shaved yet and He doesn't want me to see His fuzzy face. Maybe He hasn't taken His shower yet. I don't know. But I'm going to have to get right up here to this door and listen because I don't want to miss a word that He has to say. Do you see what I'm getting at here? How intently we have to pay attention. And there are too many people. And listen, those of you that are called into evangelism or pastoring, this verse is going to be super relevant to you because you must, absolutely must, wait and listen to receive from wisdom. This is why a lot of churches get messed up in building projects and all this other. They step out to do things that seem to make sense. Then they end up in all kinds of problems. Wisdom would never have time to do this. He says, blessed, 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 blessed is the man, the person, the Christian who wait at my gates and listen at my doorpost and wait for my instructions. Because when I speak, what I will give you, the words that I speak to you, will produce my blessings in your life. And you guys are blessed with a break. Hallelujah.